Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of being here and to represent this wonderful ministry. I said earlier, I smile when I hear them talk about a normal day on board. There is no such thing. And if anything, yesterday was an abnormal day where we saw, as we are visiting one of the ports in Taiwan, 28,913 people come to visit the ship. And many of those would never come to a church. Most of them would have been Buddhists. And you just cannot imagine the opportunities that we have as God brings just hundreds of people, thousands of people every day. We've already seen on this ship, in its time of ministry, 4 million people come on board. And I'm amazed as I see folk in their different countries, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, just lining up, standing in the sun for hours just to come and see why we're there and hopefully get a little bit of hope. I didn't start my ministry with Operation Mobilization. I used to be a pastor here in South Africa. And while I was pastoring in Grahamstown, we wrestled with the whole issue of missions. And we began to pray as a church that God would lead us and use us. And we asked the Lord to help us find just one person in our church over the next sort of 2 years that we could identify, that we could send and put out into missions. Well, after 1 year, we sent four into missions. The pastor, his wife, and his two kids. And that's when I joined Operation Mobilization for the first time. And it's been a real privilege and blessing to do that. The challenge is, how much do we really believe about what we say we believe? Even if we think of some of the words that we've sung this morning. There's some heavy stuff you've sung this morning. Are we doing it? We're looking at mission, and why should we be involved in mission? I discover as a South African that I have a bit of a rebellious heart. And one good reason not to do something is when someone tells you you should do it. And one of the challenges we have is dealing with that resistance to doing what we know we should be doing. And I want to hopefully encourage you, if you are involved in ministry, to keep going and give you more reasons to keep going. And if you're not yet involved in some sort of witness and outreach or mission, please let God speak to your heart this morning. One of the first reasons is the obvious reason, and that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission, where Jesus comes to his disciples and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." There's pretty good reason to listen to him. And he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you." And it's actually a very simple thing. God is just saying, "I want you to pass on what I have told you." You don't have to have any special qualifications. You don't have to have all the answers. You simply have to be willing to tell your story. And yet it's interesting how many of us refuse and are reluctant to do that very thing. We've had this absolute joy. In launching the ship, we had a very wealthy Malaysian businessman give us about $1.5 million towards the project. And he hadn't seen the project. When we launched it in 2009, he sent his right-hand man, a Christian, a nominal Catholic, a Malay-Chinese man, to come and check it out and report back to him, was this a worthwhile investment? And while this man was on board the ship in London, someone spoke to him and challenged him about his salvation. And he and his wife came to know the Lord. And he went back reporting to this businessman, "Yes, your money is a worthwhile investment. It works." And he's a brother in Christ and a very solid supporter of ours today. And again, you don't have to do much to bring a man like that to know Jesus. We had a Sudanese brother. We used to have at least two every year for a number of years, coming and sharing their passion and zeal for evangelism. And Ayub was, we're in the Netherlands, Antilles, and he was standing at a bus stop, and this little 12-year-old boy was standing next to him, and all of his heart, he just wanted to tell his story to this little boy, but he couldn't communicate, he didn't know the language. And an older lady came along, and he asked her if she would translate, and she said, "Sure, I'd love to." And he gave his testimony, and eventually led this young boy to Christ, got his name and address for the local church. And then he turned to the lady and said, "I want to thank you, lady, for being willing to translate this." She said, "Not so quickly. Please pray with me. I also want to receive Christ." And she had translated her own gospel message. And we just see, again, if you're willing to simply do what God tells, people will respond. And there are more people out there desperate for hope today than ever before. Good reason to get involved in mission is we've been commanded to, the command of Jesus. Another reason to get involved in mission is the coming of Jesus. And Jesus said very clearly in Matthew 24, this gospel must be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. How many of you would like to see the Lord Jesus return? Yeah, you don't want to get married first, see your grandchildren? Yeah, there are a lot of folk a little hesitant about, not tonight. But we want to see the Lord come. But you know what? It's not going to help anybody. It's not going to bring the Lord by us sitting in the pew, sitting on the couch, doing nothing about it. For many years, missions were motivated by this thing, bringing back the King. If we are willing to take the gospel to every nation, when the last nation has heard this gospel as a testimony, then the end will come. And until that has happened, the end will not come. So we can be involved in our praying, in our giving, in our going to, in a sense, bring completion to the Great Commission so that the Lord Jesus might return. The coming of Jesus is a very good reason to be involved in mission. We've just had the privilege in recent months, we've been in Asia now for a number of years, and we've been in Japan some months ago, and visiting some of these places like Nagasaki, devastated place in history, devastated with tsunami, people living in despair and a lack of hope. And we saw thousands of people coming to the ship, and what was most surprising to the local believers who've been trying to do evangelism in Nagasaki for years, the responsiveness to the gospel was overwhelming. One young man was just, of our staff was standing around, and one young Japanese chap came up to him in reasonably good English and said, "Tell me, why are you people here? What are you doing here?" And in almost like arrogance, the staff member turned to him and said, "Look, if I tell you why we're here, it will change your life." And so he told his story, and he told him why he was here. And indeed, that day it changed his life. This young man gave his life to Christ. And just in Nagasaki, we saw more than 50 folk give their lives to the Lord. A response to the gospel that was unprecedented as far as the local believers were concerned. Many of them moved with emotion as God opened the doors to the kingdom and opening the door for His coming even closer. The coming of the Lord Jesus, good reason to be involved in mission. And then the third reason, and again, this is not necessarily a good reason, but it's a valid reason, and if this is the only thing that moves us, then maybe we should do that. It's the courtroom of Jesus. We will have to give an account for what He has given to us and what He's commanded us to do. We sang that song, "What You've Given Me, I Will Sow." Are we? Are we sowing what He's given us? We will have to give an account for that. And in Ezekiel, twice God says to His prophet these words, identical passage, I'm reading from Ezekiel 33, verse 7, "Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear my word, I speak, and give them warning from me. And when I say to the wicked, 'You wicked person, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade them of their ways, that wicked person will die for their sins, but I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn that wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved." Even in the parables, Jesus said, He's given us talents, and we will have to answer to Him what we've done with them. Are we doing with what God has given us, the grace, the mercy, the gospel, what He has commanded us to do? Go and make disciples. Tell all people about me. Proclaim His name. One day we will have to give an account. The lady you see cutting the ribbon in this picture here is Aisha Gaddafi, the daughter of Colonel Gaddafi. A number of years ago, we received a phone call in our office in Mosbach. The receptionist picked up the phone, and someone was there and said, "This is the representative of the Libyan government. We'd like to invite your ship to Libya." And the person said, "Yeah, good try." Put the phone down. The phone rang again, same voice, same message. The guy said, no, "You're really trying hard." Put the phone down. Third time he thought, "Oops, maybe this is genuine." And he passed it on to one of the leaders, and we pursued it, and that ended in one of our ships going to visit Libya some years ago. In 2010, we were able to go back for a second visit, and this was just 2 months before the civil war. Aisha Gaddafi was part of the UN movement for working among children, a charity supporting education and cultural development, and we were invited to come on that basis to Libya. We visited three different ports, saw more than 134,000 people come to the ship. Opportunities to just talk with dental students, university students, asking questions, again, why are you here? To compare worldviews, to talk about our faith. About 6 months ago, I received an email from a colleague of mine whose daughter has been working in one of the international schools in Libya. And she told her father that she wasn't there very long, and a young girl came up to her and said, "Would you please be willing to disciple me and my friend?" And she said, "Well, where did you come to know Christ?" She said, "Well, 2010, when Logos Hope was visiting Libya, I came to know the Lord, and I've led my friend to Jesus. Will you please disciple us?" Amazing. If we're just willing to do what he tells us to do and leave the results to him. We don't need the guarantees up front. Just do what he tells you to do, and he will see the results through the courtroom of Jesus. A good reason to be involved in mission. If we look at the map of the world, this next slide will tell you where the evangelical believers are scattered around the globe. Clusters of blue. This is some years ago, so there are probably a few more blue dots around India and some other places where God is really moving. But if you look at the next slide, you'll see there's still a lot of clusters of red. People who would today be considered unreached. They're not in a place where there's someone who will tell them about Christ in their own language. Probably do not have a Bible in their own language. Do not have access to the truth. Some 2 billion people in the world. How is it that more people know about Coca-Cola today than know about Jesus Christ? It's not that we don't have the resources in the church. The church has enough resources, enough people, enough money, enough influence to send people to all these nations. But we've not done it in over 2,000 years. What excuse can there be? Because one day we're going to have to answer before him, the courtroom of Jesus. Another good reason from the verses that were read earlier on in our service this morning is the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of Jesus. And in this promise of God to Abraham, going out as an ambassador of God, developing a nation who would be witnesses to the great God, the only God, the God of heaven and earth, God says, "I will bless you, I'll protect you," blessing those who bless you, and dealing with those who don't. "I will make your name great." And these are the kind of things we want. Yes, bring it on. Doesn't sound good. But there's a covenant there that's got a condition. "And you will be a blessing. And the nations of the earth will be blessed by you." And if we are not willing to be a blessing, if we're not willing to pass on what we have, use it or lose it, we will not know the benefit and blessing of God. You don't need power to sit in the pew. We need power to be his witnesses, power to reach out and to bring the kingdom of God into the hearts and lives and communities of those who do not know the impact and the reign of the King. There's this amazing little verse in Isaiah 43 verse 10, where he says to Israel, and as he says to us, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no other God was formed, nor will there be one after me." And this is an amazing little verse. If you're not 100% sure of your faith, talk to others about it. "You are my witnesses so that you may believe, so that you may come to understand." Don't wait until you've got it all sewn up and sorted out before you go and witness. It's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen as you're willing to get involved in telling the story, bringing the gospel to others. Then the conviction and clarity of what you're talking about will be even more in your own life. Do you want to know the full riches of God's blessing on your life? Hello? It's not going to happen until you engage in being a blessing and taking the good news to others and sharing that blessing with them. To be a part of God's redemptive people is an incredible privilege. But we're not going to know that full blessing until we're willing to give it away. Another reason to get involved in mission is the comprehensive plan of God. God has always planned that the world should be filled with men and women who know Him. And Habakkuk summed it up as God told him of His purpose. Habakkuk 2:14, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That has been God's purpose from the beginning. He wanted the earth to be inhabited with men and women who know Him and love Him. Because of the fall, because of sin, that did not happen. The earth has become filled with men and women who do not know Him. But this is His plan, always been His plan, that throughout the planet, people everywhere should call on the name of the Lord, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord should fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And it's amazing. The moment you step out and do what God wants you to do, and you're part of His plan, you will know Him opening doors you never imagined possible. I bet you if you speak to your missionaries, they never dreamt they would be in these countries. They never dreamt they would see God doing the things that they've seen Him do. God has done it because they've cooperated with Him, stepped into the wake of His plan and purpose. We in the ship always want to visit those hard places. A couple of years ago, we were in the Arabian Peninsula, and the wonderful thing is God is still opening the door for us to go back into the Muslim world. Countries that would never allow missionaries allow this massive ship of 400 Christian believers to come in. How's that possible? But it's still happening. And a number of years ago, we were in Qatar. We'd gone to Libya, we'd been to Lebanon, then we'd come around to the Arab Peninsula, and the Arab Spring was following us quite closely. Some people blamed us for it. But a month or 2 months after we left, then things would go awry. But when we got to Qatar, the Arab Spring jumped over us to Bahrain, and the chaos in Bahrain happened before we got there, and so we had to cancel the visit. But we had kept 10 boxes of Arabic Bibles on board for that visit. And so here we were about to leave Doha, and we had these boxes of Bibles, and we wanted to give them away where they could be used. The BookX manager, a Dutchman, went up to one of the local Egyptian guys who'd been helping us, a believer who looked after a little fellowship, and said, "Won't you please take these Bibles? You can use them." And he said, "I'd love to, but it's too dangerous." Because for him to get from the ship to his car, he had to get onto a bus led by the security police, go through the port gates, and if he was carrying 10 boxes of Bibles, they'd be very suspicious. And so the manager said, "Don't worry," and he gave him the slip for the paper for the books, and he went down to the quayside. There was one pickup truck, a bucky there, and he said to him, the driver of the bucky, he said, "Would you be willing to take some boxes of books out for one of our customers?" It's very awkward for him to carry all these books into the bus and then off the bus. It's just clumsy. "Would you be willing to help?" And this man said, "Certainly." And so the head of the security police drove in his bucky 10 boxes of Arabic Bibles through the port gate. Praise the Lord. And then I had the opportunity last year in October to meet with this Egyptian man. We were sitting at a table talking, and he was just telling me how God had used those Bibles. And even while I was talking to him, the phone rang. His phone rang, and he spoke. I didn't get it. It was all in Arabic. And he was saying, "That's just another believer who's come forward who wants to be part of our fellowship and asking where we meet and how can he be involved." And he is able to distribute and use the Bible in their local language. Whenever we go past one of these closed countries, North Korea, Cuba, Saudi Arabia, Maldives probably the most closed country today, almost 100% Islam, we always ask if we can pay a courtesy visit. Most times they say no. In the 70s we had an opportunity to go to the Maldives, but we blew it big time. We went to the Logos and we just distributed New Testaments, gospel tracts, and proclaimed the gospel. And basically got us blacklisted in their government. And so now we keep trying, and we've tried a number of times, but this time they said, "Well, we know you've been working in other parts of the Muslim world. You seem to be received and trusted. but you need permissions. And we went through all the permissions, and the last permission we had to get was from the head of the Ministry of Religion, Muhammad, as all many of the others are. And Lloyd, our guy, was sitting down with Muhammad, and Muhammad was saying, I remember the ship, your first ship visit, and that was a disaster. Because the moment the ship left, the government ordered everybody to bring all the New Testaments, all the tracts, everything they had, to the city center where they would burn them. And we said, no, we will behave ourselves. And we had 5 days in the Maldives. Opportunity to have prayer walks throughout the country. Opportunities to meet with groups of people, a group of basketball players from the police college locally, met with our girls, played basketball with them, came to the ship, went back to their college, came back to the ship. Many conversations, and we're free to answer any question. Why are you here? What do you believe? And amazing opportunities. And then Muhammad, as he had signed the letter and handed it to our thing, he said, I just want you to know, I've still got the New Testament I got as a young boy when your ship came here in the 70s. And who knows what that might mean to Muhammad in years to come. God has a plan that we can be a part of, that the earth should be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And that is part of the purpose of the church. In fact, that is the whole purpose of the church. That is the purpose of your life. Let's be a part of His plan, the comprehensive plan. Another reason to get involved in missions is the compassion of Jesus. God so loved the church that He gave His only begotten Son. You know the verse? Yeah? You're less awake than the 8 o'clock service. They responded that that wasn't right. Yeah? God so loved the world. It's fascinating how many Christians actually believe God so loved the church. That we are the focus of God's love. We are the reason for Jesus coming. And that really it's all about us. That is nothing, there's nothing further from the truth. God so loved the world. And God still loves the world today. And He wants the church to be the expression of His love and His compassion to the nations of the world. And it is so easy. There's so many people in such great need. But just the simplest act of kindness can touch their heart and make a difference. We have the opportunities, as you see in these slides here, of going around. And one of the things we do is we just do simple eye tests for those who are struggling to read. You'd be horrified to know how many people are literate in this world but can't read because they don't have reading glasses. Some time ago, we were in the Philippines, about 20 miles outside Manila, and we had conducted a clinic. Simple eye test. Use the Gospel of John. Just read verse 16 there. Is it clear? Do you understand? And then we'd give them their glasses. And we gave this one man his glasses, and he just started weeping. And one of the girls said, are you okay? And he said, yes. He says, it's been 3 years since I've been able to read my Bible, and I'm the local pastor. Can you believe that? Another lady in that same clinic been praying for 8 years that she may read her Bible again. 20 miles from one of the mega cities in Aute. No access, just to simple eye test and reading glasses. We provide pure water through water purification, and that's revolutionized. Again, Philippines post-tsunami. Many communities around the world just have no access to clean water, and we can provide that very simply. Dental clinics in some parts of the world, people just are living in pain, and some of them just malnourished because it's too painful to eat. And there are times where we run these clinics in little communities inshore. And one day this teenage boy came to one of our clinics. He had developed a stain across his teeth. And the stain had impacted him so badly he didn't want to smile. He felt threatened and insecure and just messing up with his whole personality. And he came to the clinic and they were able to polish the stain off his teeth and re-enamel his teeth, and he got up with his glorious white bright smile. Ultra bright, it used to be, isn't it? And he was just thrilled. And one of the girls put her arm around him and said, you had a stain on your teeth that you could do nothing about, and we've been able to help you. But you also need to know you have a stain in your heart that you can do nothing about. Only Jesus can help you. And the American dentist who had come for this clinic, he told me the story again, just weeping, that he was able to pray with this young boy and give his life to Christ. Simple act of kindness, simple act of compassion can open the door for the gospel. One of the most amazing stories for me was a South African guy on board, and he was one of these farmers from the Eastern Transvaal, a macho South African man. And when folk considered him, we had one girl going on a team with him, and she was really horrified, sort of, how am I going to put up with this guy? He's, you know, almost afraid because he's so macho. But he was in the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo, and he was in a taxi driver talking to him. And when he discovered from Dave that the ship was going to go around the north of Latin America and then down to Suriname, Paramaribo, he said, look, there's a family here I think you should meet. Are you available for supper tomorrow? This taxi driver took him to supper the next day, and he met this family. And they shared with him that they had a daughter who was 16 and who had run away from home 3 years earlier to go and be a prostitute in Paramaribo, Suriname. And they'd lost contact with her. Would David please be willing to find her and ask her to make contact with her family again? They knew the hotel she had gone to work in initially, but they had no further contact with her. So here's this macho South African guy, some 3.5 months later, making sure no, the local elders saw him as he heads off to the red light district. The hotel had changed its name, but he found the hotel. There was some other woman there who offered to help him. He said, no, I'm looking for this girl. And he'd arranged to bring her back to the ship and arrange with some of the Spanish-speaking girls to spend some time with her. And she came on board. She phoned home for the first time in over 2.5 years and was reunited with her family in that way. He discovered that the taxi driver was actually her brother. He had taken a photograph that evening and she had pointed it out. This is my brother. And when we left Paramaribo, this girl was standing on the quayside with the local Christian believers who had a ministry of finding jobs for ex-prostitutes. They had discipled a number through. And she had come to know the Lord, and I trust one day has gone back to see her family again. Because one man cared enough to go and find her and to tell her somebody loved her and that Jesus loved her. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal, but it doesn't take that much from us. Is your heart moved with the love of Jesus? Do we love those people that everybody else doesn't want to have anything to do with? Let's allow God to touch our hearts, because somebody else cared enough to talk to us. Somebody else cared enough to pray for us. A good reason to be involved in mission is the compassion of Jesus. One more reason, the celebration of Jesus. On the next slide, we have this Revelation chapter 7, where God pulls back the veil and reveals to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos what the end is going to look like. And he shows John this multitude of all the believers through time coming together to worship the Lamb. 144,000 symbolic of all the Jews who believed. And then this mass that no one could number from every tribe, every nation, every language, worshiping the Lamb together. Many are motivated to mission today because of worship. We want others to worship with us, to not be forced to bow the knee to Jesus when he comes, but to do it willingly and wholeheartedly because they recognize their God and their Lord. I preached on this passage a number of times and probably read it more, and I'm a little bit slow, but one day, a number of years ago, I suddenly realized I'm going to be there. This is not some meeting happening somewhere else, but this is going to be, I'm going to be in that crowd. You know, and if you're a believer and then the camera comes in your face and there it's on the big screen, hello, Mom. And then I realized, you know, I want to ask Jesus some questions that day. So somewhere in the midst of the crowd way back, excuse me, Lord, who was the last people group to be reached with the gospel that brought completion to the Great Commission, that fulfilled Matthew 24, that the gospel was preached as a testimony of the kingdom, and then the end could come. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And in my mind, I picture Jesus pointing out a group, a people group. I'm not sure if it's hundreds, thousands, or whatever it might be, of people from the lost people group to be reached with the gospel. And then there's this roar in heaven as the multitude just rejoice over the completion of God's purposes, the coming together of God's plan. And there's a sort of Mexican wave rolling of worship throughout heaven. 200 years later, it sort of calms down. I put my hand up. Excuse me, I've still got another question. Lord Jesus, who reached them? And the possible answer is this. Do you remember that Mission Sunday you had at Rosebank Union? I touched the heart of a young person there, an older couple there, and they felt the call to go to the unreached. And the church prayed for them, the church supported them, the church equipped them. And they were able to bring completion to my plan and my purpose of the Great Commission. Isn't that worth giving your life for? Isn't that worth praying for? Isn't that worth giving finance towards? Isn't that worth going for? It could happen out of this group of people here today to celebrate together with all the nations. And we've been a part. What a privilege of God's plan and purpose to bring every nation, every tribe, every language before the throne to worship Him. What a wonderful, immense privilege. Many reasons to be involved in mission. We don't need any more. There plenty, probably are others as well. But let's just look at the list again. The command of Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations, pretty clear. The coming of Jesus, that every nation should hear before the end comes. The courtroom of Jesus, we will be accountable for what we've done or not done in terms of spreading His word. The covenant, that we have been willing to be a blessing as we are blessed. This comprehensive plan that everyone throughout the earth should come to know Him, that the knowledge of the glory of the earth, the glory of the Lord should fill the earth. The compassion of Jesus. The heart of God that sent His only Son sends you and me to those who do not know. And then this glorious celebration where it has happened and we rejoice in our God and King. Do not hesitate to tell your story. Do not hesitate to give your life for Him and His purpose. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I just bring my brothers and sisters here and we just thank You again for the immense privilege we have of knowing You, of being welcomed into Your glorious presence in the name of Jesus. Thank You for those who shared the truth of who You are with us. Thank You for those who prayed that we may come to see the light. Help each one of us to play our part, whatever it might be, how big or how small it might be, to be a part of Your plan and Your purposes, part of Your church, to reach this world for Jesus. Do not let us rest until we have the peace of doing Your will, committed to what You want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I do ask you, please, don't just go out into the street and get lost in all that's happening. If God